Welcome back to the Freedom Pact podcast. Today on the show, I am joined by returning guest Darren O'Lean. You may know Darren as one of the hosts of the Emmy Award-winning Netflix show Down to Earth with Zac Efron. You may know him from his smash hit book, Super Life. You may even know him from his brand new book, Fatal Conveniences. In today's show, you can expect to learn what a fatal convenience is, how to spot them. They are all around you. Whether we need to become fully conscious of these fatal conveniences, or is it just enough to go from a 1% to a 5%? Some of the simple changes you can make throughout your everyday life to avoid some of these fatal conveniences, and so much more. Before we get into today's episode, I just want to thank today's sponsor, Vibee. Now, I know you guys listening are like me, where you live busy, busy lives. You have so much going on, and sometimes you just don't have enough time to think about a nutritious, healthy meal. Well, today's sponsor, Vibee, is a brain care nutrition company that ships worldwide. Their mission is to provide world-class nutritional products that are convenient and affordable while giving back to disadvantaged communities. That is one of my favorite parts of Vibee, that they have this social purpose and it is at the core of their business. And for every online order, they donate a meal back to charity. You might have seen me share Vibee's nootropic powdered meal shake on my Instagram at The Sleep Diplomat or on our Instagram at Freedom Pack. For me, it's the easiest way of making sure I hit my nutritional goals and allowing me enough time to live the busy life that I lead. I know when I take one of these shakes in the morning, it's giving me 29 grams of protein, 26 vitamins and minerals, complex carbs, essential fats, and added premium ingredients such as probiotics and nootropics to promote a healthy gut and brain. If this product sounds like something you can benefit from, you can use the code FREEDOM for 15% off by heading to www.vibe.co.uk or vibe.com.au. And remember, that's the code FREEDOM for 15% off your order. Now, on with today's show with Darren O'Lean.
You are freer than you think.
It's like the ultimate form of freedom.
You expound upon that freedom to develop on this planet.
True freedom comes from within. It's the ability.
Thinking to myself, I can help you or I can destroy you.
Man, as a two-time felon,
I work really hard and I've been a life learner.
When things are feeling tough, let yourself be surprised.
The world favors risk-taking.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Freedom Pact.
Darren, welcome back to the Freedom Pact podcast. I believe it's been over 2 years now since you were on the show last, so it's great to see you again.
Hey, man, great to be here back. I remember our great conversation last time, so I'm excited to be here.
I'm super excited to have you on the show. So I mentioned right there your new book, Fatal Conveniences. My first question when I started thinking about the concept of fatal conveniences is just how deep they go. Because I think a lot of people out there who are health conscious, they would probably assume that they have enough awareness to navigate the modern world and be conscious of the things that are right in front of them. But how sneaky can these fatal conveniences get?
I mean, you could throw a dart at almost anything that's in your world, anything that you're wearing, anything that you shampooed with, you sudsed up with, you cleaned with. You know, it's all of these things that in a weird sort of way got through. In this modern world, you think it's one of the number one questions that people say is, hey, why would they let us buy it if it wasn't safe? Right. And so that's where things get a real, real dicey. And it's very shocking to find that most things that are going on in this world have another side to them that could potentially cause us harm.
Yeah, one of my questions was actually going to be, with a lot of these fatal conveniences, what shocks me is, as you mentioned there, how they slip through the net, because you know they should be, or I'd imagine, or people would like to think there's a rigorous testing, you know, regulations done, and that the people responsible surely would be liable for certain things. So the fact that they would let these things slip through the net is quite an amazement.
Yeah, and certainly, you know, something I'm not proud of here in the United States, they allow formulations of, you know, ultra-processed food. They allow endocrine disruptors, trans fats, emulsifiers, parabens, phthalates. They allow certain things here that's sold to people here more than even Europe and the European Union and they're abroad. So there is some better regulations, but no one's doing it right. It can be better in Europe, but in the United States, it's pretty bad. And these, you know, call it three-letter, four-letter organizations from RFDA, USDA, NIH, FCC, all of this stuff that when you really look at it, and you start to realize, oh, they may know about it, but they haven't even regulated much of anything. So that's the shocking feature. I've even read articles where coming from off of some of these sites talking about some of the harms. And yet it seems as though they don't even regulate that which you think they're regulating. So yeah, that's the challenge. And to come to full circle to realize, like, oh, just because I can buy it, there's no omnipresent, overarching, you know, safety gods that have allowed this to go through the rigors of testing before you would be able to buy that for your child, for your pets, for you, for to clean yourself and personal care, to put beauty products on, all of this stuff and so much more, unfortunately has some negative side effects.
Well, something you mentioned there, I recently went on a trip to the US. I've never been before. And when I went there, it kind of came as a bit of a shock to me how different things are there. Fatal conveniences aside, just from a general health standpoint, when I was in the US, I was amazed by so many things, you know, the portion sizes. You know, I was reading up on the fact that the meat there doesn't have the regulations it does over here, and you can pump it full of steroids and things. You know, even things when you walk into a corner shop or a supermarket. In the UK, there's laws in place where the healthier drinks have to be the first ones you see, for example. And you almost have to go looking for the high sugar drinks. But when I was in America, I was walking into these 7-Eleven shops, and I remember I had to go out of my way to try and find something that was sugar-free. So I found, I mean, even when I was going for breakfast in the morning, you order some eggs on toast, and they're asking you if you want syrup on top of it. It's a completely different world to the one I'm used to. To what extent do you think that America is letting its people down?
Hugely. In these areas, hugely. You know, it's almost as if you look at all the data, you come to find that, you know, the calories that are being consumed, for example, the ultra processed food is 70%. Of a children's diet, 70%, and the adults is 60%. So to your point, they're purposely marketing to us. They're purposely getting us addicted, hyper palatable food that is created. It's not even food anymore. So, and then you look at the racing of heart disease, cancer, diabetes, and the kind of Russian roulette that you even play going to the regular doctor who is demoralized because many doctors started out wanting to do the right thing, living the idea that the Hippocratic oath of do no harm was, you know, I want to do this, and I believe that at the heart of most medical professionals. But then you come to realize that it's an impossibility living out that idea within a system that is not based on preventing anything. So it's a bit of a twilight zone. It's a bit of the opposite world, right? So if you were to look at statistically how many people are actually healthy, it's alarming to know. There was a Mayo Clinic study showing that only here in the United States, 2.7% of the Americans out of the 300 plus million were deemed healthy. So this is where the idea that there is this powerful superpower that's got the best medicine and the best food and the best lifestyle, and it's completely the opposite. We are leading in the destruction of our own society. We're leading in the destruction of our own people. Now, there's also the crazy part about it is I don't blame people necessarily for pointing at them and say, hey, you should not eat that. You were born into a system that could make an argument to 100 years old plus of manipulating food for a greater profit, that you're born into it. And again, people are assuming that foods aren't going to hurt their children. They're not going to hurt themselves. But this fast food nation has hurt us. And so we're born into it. And the addictive qualities that have been spent billions and billions of dollars creating addictive substances to hook people, to hook and hijack their physiology, was way before most of us came into this world, right? And so you become a victim of the system that's at play. And that system as at play, I'm not saying it's nefarious. I'm saying that the god of profit has become the worship way beyond the health and safety of the people. So as long as they're moving the needle of that profit share every quarter, they just continue and then push the narrative of, you know, even some of these companies, they push the narrative of investing into health promoting changing of habits when they very well know that their whole system is to try to create habits to get them hooked on. So it's not a, so the point to all of this is we don't know the degree at which we're being hijacked. So the book for me is to wake up from the matrix of the system that we're born into so that we can have greater agency of change and realize, and we start opening, kind of take off the proverbial sunglasses to all of our little habits and say, huh, is that deodorant healthy for me to use? Is that shampoo that I'm just used to using, is that okay for my health? Is that laundry detergent that I'm just used to smelling, is that good for me? And I would argue 99% of those things that you turn over and start looking at those ingredients and you start looking at to see if they're actually healthy, 99% of them are going to be, unless you've already taken that action in your life, are mostly going to be a negative consequence to your to the overall use of them. And so the book is a long conversation about many products in many areas of your life, so that you can wake up to that, to liberate yourself from this hijacking of these endocrine disruptors and these phthalates and these plasticizers and your clothing and the formaldehyde in your toothpaste and the PFAS on your dental floss and the petroleum that is leaching into your food, the PFAS into your food, all of these things, especially when you add them up over time, is very detrimental. And not one necessarily is a smoking gun causing the cancer, causing the diabetes, causing heart disease. There was just an article 2 weeks ago showing that they were able to find plastics, microplastics, below 5 nanometers in the heart of about 16 patients. So, you know, this is an alarm. Not to create alarm, because we don't need more negative stuff. This isn't meant to be negative. This is meant to be looked at so that you can make a healthy choice, so that you can unplug yourself from these systems that do not, have never had your best interest, so that you can make a better choice, use a better dental floss, a better deodorant, a better shampoo, and then just go about your life. But don't increase your carcinogenic activity in your body just because you don't want to look at something. That's the spirit of the book. And this can be a resource. You can literally look at the book and go, this is too overwhelming. I just want to start with one thing. You can open the book, go to the solutions back of the book, and just pick one thing and then change it out. And I believe strongly in momentum and integration. So that's the idea.
Well, I think everyone at this point is probably, you know, they're convinced, they're raring to go. And there was one thing you said there that I really loved about it not being, you know, the people's fault. And it reminded me of the other day I was speaking to the founder of the Blue Zones, Dan Buettner. There we are. So with when I was speaking to Dan, he said that, simply put, he said, on average, anyone listening to this, he said, there's a good chance that you're going to die 14 years sooner than you deserve to. And the major problem with that is it's not your fault. Again, like you, he was saying, it's to do with the system that you're born into. So a lot of people now, they might be thinking, well, I want to take it into my own hands. I want to, you know, start doing these things that Darren and Lewis are talking about today. My main question would be, how accessible is it to become fully conscious, like a Darren O'Lean on these fatal conveniences? Or, and this is something you and I talked about last time, is it good enough to go from say a Darren O'Lean is a 90 to 100%. Is it good enough for someone to go from a 1% to a 10%?
It's always good enough. Mm. You know, it's every bit, you know, it's one grain of sand. It's one step up the stairs. It's one drink of water. It's one good salad. You know, all of these things are, that's life. You know, like, what's the choice? Pretend it doesn't exist and continue? That's fine. You can do that. Or you can say, hey, what is my goal? What do I want my life to be? I would imagine that really deeply inside, everyone does want to live a healthy, longer life, to enjoy this miracle that we get to have. We have this body, we get to cruise around this life. Unfortunately, there's just people and things that, again, is not our choice. So I strongly believe every choice is in this moment. Like, that's it. That's all we have. So when you're at your next, in your next, at the next restaurant, or you're, you know, you wake up tomorrow morning, you have a choice to drink some fresh water, filtered water. But now from this conversation, you go, oh, wow, okay, 50% of the U.S. population is getting exposed to PFAS, not to mention pesticides, herbicides, all of that stuff. Wow, okay, start with filtering my water, right? Start with clearing out that water, add some electrolytes back in. Boom, you just saved yourself toxic exposure like crazy. Unfortunately, that's what's happening. So if you just took one of those things and now you've added that up towards your path, towards what you truly want. I don't want people to obsess over all of these things, to get overwhelmed. Overwhelm is a lie. Overwhelm is letting your brain kick on through and past the moment, and then you overwhelm yourself because you're not here. What we can do here is learn, take a step, and continue to go. And so that's what this is all about. I didn't show up at 100. I showed up just like everyone else. I didn't know about any of this stuff. And then you take the journey. If you take the journey, just like exercise, are you done exercising if you exercised yesterday? No, it's life. You have to continue. You have to continue in that, or you can choose not to and sit on the couch and you kind of know where that's going to take you. So all of these things are, I believe even these small choices are infinitely powerful, right? Because it's knowledge followed with action creates an integration through that discipline. And that is self-affirming, that is confident building, and also then you can share it. So anything that people are hearing on this podcast today, you can go, wow, I didn't know about that. And then you share the podcast, share that information.
Well, long before this book came out, I, as I mentioned at the top, I've always been a big fan of your work. I listened to the Darren O'Lean podcast, Darren O'Lean Show, and your Fatal Conveniences episodes back then. And I remember almost every week, every 2 weeks, seeing these new Fatal Conveniences pop up. And they were things that I never, ever, ever even, you know, thought about. It could be something like AstroTurf. And you know, with a lot of the sport I do and the people I work with, I spend a lot of time around things like AstroTurf. And these things were really alarming to me, because you would never, ever even consider looking into them before, you know, someone presents you with that information. And so just for the people listening now, obviously I am not as far as down the scale as Darren O'Lean, but I like to think I'm somewhat conscious to these things. Right now, I'm sat here, I've got a laptop in front of me, a microphone, two big LED lights, a camera, I've got some wired earphones in, I've got a ceramic mug, I'm sat on a fabric chair. How many Fatal Conveniences do you think that I'm subject to right now?
Yeah, well, anyone can relate to. It's like, okay, the first thing you do, what are you drinking? Was it filtered? Is it a tea? Is it something like that? And then, you know, looking at that, where did the product, where did the tea? Hell, the tea bags themselves largely have plastic weaving, so they don't rip, right? So if you're having a tea, you want to start scrutinizing the tea bag that they're using, because you literally can potentially be soaking plastic as well as just wanting. And then you go, okay, the t-shirts, the underwear that I'm using, that's on your skin, especially the genitals, and the soft tissue can absorb a lot of those materials. And you know, you've got formaldehydes, you've got plastics, you have plasticizers, you've got elastane, all of these things. So You want to wear natural fibers as much as possible. Most things are weaved in these plastics. And then you're plugged in, which is great. I'm a big fan of plugging back in the EMFs around earbuds. I mean, you probably have a Wi-Fi on too. So the incredible studies that have been happening, there's hundreds and hundreds of studies out on the dangers of Wi-Fi, 5G, and more studies need to be done on earbuds, but the signal of the earbud is just a lower level than a cell phone, meaning it's not the strength isn't as strong, but it's in your head. The problem with EMFs is proximity. So how close those things are to you, how close are you sleeping next to your Wi-Fi router, how close is that laptop close to your body, how close is that cell phone up to your head, how close these things are to you, and then duration over time. So if these things, if you're on an hour-long call on a cell phone up to your head, these things I would strongly encourage you not to do. So then you're going, well, what the hell should I do? If you're in a place where you can put on speakerphone or plug back in, right? I have air tubes. There's literally won't even let the EMFs even travel through the wire. Obviously, keep the cell phone farther away from you. The fine print on cell phones is that they do not recommend it on your body. And no one knows that, right? They do not recommend this closer to several centimeters close to your body when in use. So turn that on Wi-Fi, or turn that on airport mode when it's on your body. Turn it off. These kinds of things. And yeah, so again, like the Wi-Fi, and then you look at, okay, what did I wash myself with? What did I put? What kind of deodorant did I use? What kind of toothpaste did I use? All of these things are ways for us to scrutinize our health. Because again, you know, the biohacking crowd is always there to maximize our hormones, maximize our, optimize our brain and all of this stuff. Well, when you're talking about these products, most are endocrine disrupting. Most of these are endocrine disrupting, and they are causing, even small amounts can have massive changes. Because think of your body. Maybe you heard something, you're under stress immediately. The body is using micro changes, your dopamine, your serotonin, you're adapting to everything. Melatonin kicks in, you want to go back, you want to go to sleep with your circadian rhythm. Like all of this stuff, your thymus, your testes, your ovaries, your thyroid, even your heart has hormone production. So all of this stuff is your regulation of this incredible symphony that's your body. Autonomically, it's just happening. So you don't know when you've had those endocrine disruptors that come off of your clothes, those phthalates and endocrine disruptors that come off of those shampoos and conditioners. Those are affecting your hormones, even the electromagnetic fields. Very, very strong evidence to show that the lowering of testosterone of men can be attributed to polarized electromagnetic fields, not to mention opening up the blood-brain barrier. All of this stuff, and I can keep going, and I know people get overwhelmed when I start going off on that. The point is to take self-agency back. It is not to be overwhelmed. Don't buy into that lie. Take in the information. You don't have to take all of the steps, but take the steps that resonate the most. Take those steps that maybe start with when you open your mouth, maybe start scrutinizing the water and the beverages that you're taking in, the filtering of your water, the lowering of the ultra-processed food. They're showing all kinds of things showing up in ultra-processed food, from PFAS to residual pesticides, herbicides, glyphosates, all kinds of stuff, that trans fats that we shouldn't be ingesting. But this is, it's our hijacked agricultural world of monocropping is very, very dangerous for our own health. And so these are the things to start becoming aware of, and then start taking some changes that resonate with the most. And you know, I'm a big fan of community and friends, and if you can get a couple people together making these choices together, maybe, you know, send out this information to other people, and then you can talk about it. And you can, I'm a big fan of the moms who control the house. They would never knowingly try to hurt anybody, let alone their children. And when you realize, from the ultra processed food and the cereals and all of this stuff, especially in America, that they're pushing on children, the baby bib that's easy to wipe off, the plastic diapers that can get into the child, all of these things, when you know that these products may not have the best interests of the child, then the moms will wake up. And then from there, these conversations become more and more powerful. Again, solutions are always there. There's always a solution. And like I say, I highlight a lot in the book, and that's the point, to steer yourself away from the problem and into a better solution for yourself and for your family.
I wonder, do you think there are at all any instances where there are some trade-offs between a fatal convenience and another benefit? I think, so for example, I was speaking to a friend of mine the other day who drinks a lot of bottled water, okay, plastic bottles, but a lot of bottled water. And I was talking to him about, you know, why don't you, you know, try filtering your water, because you drink more water than anyone I know, which is great, but maybe look at the source. And he said, at the moment, you know, the life I'm living for me right now, he said, I know I'm the type of person where if I was to do that every time, I wouldn't be drinking a quarter of as much as I'm drinking now. That may not be a great example, but another one I can think of is if there's someone out there who falls asleep every night with headphones in, or wireless ones even, but they're the type of person that really struggles to get to sleep if they don't have some sort of, you know, sleep relaxing white noise or something. And if they took those earphones out every night, then they'd get half as much sleep. Are there any trade-offs you can see like that?
I mean, I think it's, those are good ideas. And that's a person to person thing. You can have also, you know, heart rate variability monitors. And maybe you do it for, that's Bluetooth, that you do it for a period of time just to get the data, and then you don't do it all the time. Maybe if you're having a hard time, that person has a hard time sleeping, and they have a partner next to them or something, so they can't have something on speaker and they have to have it in the thing. Yeah, I mean, I would plug back in if I absolutely had to do that. I would plug back in, but maybe people, you know, they can't sleep with wires connected to them. So, you know, again, you want to, you know, that's not a normal thing. So if they can't sleep, what's underneath that? What's going on? So again, if it's short periods of time, I wouldn't worry about it. So this person with the water, I think that's lazy. If you're literally not jumping on a plane and traveling 300 days a year, then I would say, yeah, that person's going to have a hard time, you know, not drinking out of a water bottle, especially in airports and stuff like that. But if they're in their home and they're just choosing to drink out of plastic, I think that's a silly idea, because you can create better water cleaner water, potentially water that's better hydratively for your body to get into your cells. So water, you know, has got so many different aspects to it that, you know, what is the pH of the water? pH is not everything. It's just an indicator. What's the total dissolved solids in there? Meaning, what are the real minerals in there and the electrolytes, but what are also the debris, the plastics, the plasticizers? Because listen, he is absolutely, if he's drinking out of water, he's drinking in plastics and plasticizers. That's affecting his hormones. Over time, you don't want to do that. But every once in a while, if you find yourself in a situation, no problem. Don't worry about it. The thing is that this stuff, the daily habits, not the things where you're on vacation and doing stuff like that, the daily habits, you want to scrutinize a little more and you want to maximize. Because a water thing for me, for example, is the easiest thing to do. Reverse osmosis or distillation. And you can do that and create clean, clear water cheaply, easily, add your electrolytes back in, and then your body can receive that water better than any weird plastic bottle that you're getting that from. So, you know, that's the way I would approach it. What are you doing every day that is hurting your health or helping your health? And the only way to really know that is to learn and to go, huh, what kind of, you know, this is natural wool, my t-shirt that I have on, natural wool that I got in Australia. I happened to see where the sheep were. I could see that they were taken care of nicely. They're roaming. They weren't abused. They weren't like, so like I wear this shirt and it has a deeper meaning. And I have 100% organic pants, cotton pants and stuff like that. I care also about these things more than like a fast fashion that I have no connection to that has detrimental pesticides and herbicides and up to 8,000 to 9,000 chemicals that it takes. And that's not even a joke that it takes to create like this example of a t-shirt, these kind of things. So the point is that this is a hell of an opportunity to unplug from the delusion so that you can maximize any one of the biohacker, or you're curious and listening to that. The other side of biohacking is cleaning up your life, cleaning up these fatal conveniences, because you will maximize hormones. You will maximize your physiology and you will maximize your energy. All of that, if you avoid, as much as you're trying to take the perfect supplement and everything else, you have to learn to avoid the modern world. Like I said, like I talk about endlessly in the book, you have to learn to avoid those negative things, because that alone will turn on your testosterone and regulate estrogen, will turn on detoxification pathways, will turn on your body's ability to regulate itself, will turn on your body's ability to go to sleep. Hell, you could be exposed to an endocrine disruptor and then you're the same person putting in headphones trying to sleep, but you're being exposed to things that are throwing off your entire regulation body, right? So again, you have to work on your foundation before you go to trying to go to someone to give you that perfect supplement or that perfect diet. My idea here is that do all those things, but you also have to learn and see what's lurking around, because unfortunately, like we started, these regulatory bodies are failing and they're failing us miserably. And I don't mean that to be dramatic, but I am meaning it to be dramatic, because this is our life. And if I know now that corporations and regulation bodies care more about the profit and the health of me because I care more about me. I care more about my loved ones, my friends, my pets, my partners. Like, I care more about them than some far off entities just creating stuff, right? Plus, in the book, I found and vetted a bunch of companies that are doing infinitely better. So there's also this other side that you can take this knowledge and you can vote with your dollars. You can say, hey, number one, I can do a DIY laundry soap or cleaning product or deodorant. You can do that and it's cheaper. And if you have the means, you can say, I'm gonna pay for this product that is healthier for me. And so you're doing two things. You're supporting a company and you're also not supporting that same company that never cared about you in the beginning.
I really love that idea there of you know, we're all so obsessed with looking to add something to our diet, add something to our lifestyle, but it can be even easier to just take something away.
Totally. Yeah. It's like, why not make up, you know, instead of that sugary oats that you can get for the instant oats, just get the real stuff. Soak them overnight, gets rid of all of the anti-nutrients, put the fruit in it. And the next morning, they're organic. There's no residue of pesticide. And then you're just making a healthy breakfast and you just eliminated sugar. You eliminated pesticides and herbicides residue. You didn't buy from these big Nestle's and everything else. And then you supported a farmer that took more time, more energy, because that farmer also wanted to do the right thing. And we really need to support the farmer doing the right thing, because the farmers now are also strangled by the chemical agriculture, which is a whole nother conversation. But this is the power in numbers. It's the power in you and I having the conversation, and also the all of your audience listening to this. They'll walk away with something that they haven't heard. They'll walk away with, wow, I didn't realize that on average, people are consuming 200 microplastics, 200,000 grams every year of plastics. And where are those coming from? They're coming from containers and the plastic water bottles and the takeaways and all of this stuff that we're exposed to, that all these companies, they're just containing their products. It's leaching into their stuff and into their food. We're consuming it and no one's responsible for it. So that's not okay. It's not okay for me. This is a hard book to create. There was over 15 plus researchers. And you know, I felt the duty to put this stuff out there.
We mentioned water there, and I often refer people to a real masterclass of a podcast you did once with Rich Roll, all about water. So for everyone listening right now, because I think a lot of people are really interested in this topic, because as we mentioned there about bottled water, a lot of people turn to tap water, but I know I have a friend who refuses to drink tap water when he comes around my house, because he's, you know, telling me about what's coming out of the pipes and the, you know, the taps. And I have another friend who's obsessed with his water filter sort of regimen. So for everyone listening now, in your best opinion, what is the best way, step by step, to filter your water and have the cleanest water possible?
Yeah, I think it's easy. I mean, the caveat is it's a hell of a convenience for us to be able to turn on our tap and have access to clean water. I think the water filtration systems and municipalities have done a great job to allow that there, but they lack the sophistication to filter out everything. So the pharmaceutical drugs, the many pharmaceuticals, the the insecticides, pesticides, herbicides, larvicides, PFAS, all of that stuff, and a whole lot more is still getting through. And then there's interactions within the chlorine that they're putting in so that it shows up safe to you. So it won't, you won't die of dysentery or typhoid anymore, right? So at least they eliminated the severe bacteria. But what happens is the chlorine itself creates hexanes and a lot of other interactions with inorganic materials that are heading through your pipes. Those pipes aren't clean anymore. Bacteria grows with water and stagnant water. And like, there's no way to have clean water coming out of a tap. It's impossible. Clean enough so it doesn't kill you immediately, but it's clean enough. So that said, easy thing is distillation. So distilling water is creating a phase change. You have water, it evaporates and it recondenses. Hmm. So it doesn't allow for the total dissolved solids, which is a classification of everything I said and a whole lot more that's in the water. So you leave that there and it evaporates. And then you have neutral 7.0, you know, pharmaceutical grade clean water. You don't want it to, you don't want to leave the water that way in order to consume it. We are salt water beings. Yeah. The cells live in a osmotic flow between sodium and potassium, sodium potassium pump. The electrolytes are necessary for the battery action of what goes in and out of the cell. So easy kind of ways, unrefined Celtic sea salt, Himalayan salt, fulvic minerals, shilajit even. These kind of things you can easily add back into water. You're mimicking nature. Water flows and it chelates over time off of the rocks and gets mineralized that way. So you want to remineralize water, a pinch of salt per glass, unrefined salt, or half a teaspoon per, you know, a couple liters. That's all. You don't have to get crazy about it, but you've now given your water the proper electrolytes that can help electrolyze the water for healthy conduction. That's necessary because we're not only saltwater beings, but we're electrical beings. So we need that conduction capability. So it's an easy thing. Now, if you have access to a well and you're on land that has a well, then test your water. You can easily do a Google search and find testing kits that can be sent to you and test those. If you want to look up, there's some websites, I think it's like findaspring.org. You can look throughout the world and there might be a spring near you and it might be tested. So you could find a spring and you could take a glass 5-gallon jug and you could get living water that way. Amazing, right? I lived in Colorado next to living water, and that's all I drank for several years. Now I don't have that, so I reverse osmosis, add my electrolytes back in, get a glass container, and then boom, you've now saved yourself money. You've created powerful water for yourself. You can even activate it, and the cells like to organize. There's a great book that Dr. Gerald Pollack called The Fourth Phase of Water, where they really, really see the, they saw the structured aspect of water as it interacts with cells. And they realized that this is a much bigger conversation, but there's an organizing power that happens in nature with water on a molecular level. You can structure your water too. You can put that glass bottle You can put it outside. The sun photons are hitting that will help to organize that water. I have a scalar photon laser that I run over my water. I also have a vortexer that mimics nature and creates the natural turbulent aspect, increases the oxygen saturation as well. But that's a whole nother thing, right? So, but start with the basics. Water is definitely life. So if you breathe, drink water, and eat living foods, and then start eliminating the fatal conveniences in your life, you are going to be a superhero. And that's what we want. We need superheroes in life to combat the nefarious people doing stuff that you know, don't have our best interest.
Amazing. I have two final questions for you before I let you go. The first one, I mentioned at the top, you are the co-host of the Emmy Award winning Down to Earth with Zac Efron, an absolutely amazing Netflix series. I encourage everyone who hasn't already to go check it out. My question on this one is, for someone like Zac Efron, who's come from a world that's, you know, very materialistic, it's very fast paced. A lot of stuff, I imagine, is done for you. You probably don't see the process yourself a lot of the time. Through your journey with Zach and creating this show and the friendship you have, how have you seen him? Have you seen a change in him in terms of his consciousness and his approach to what goes in his body, the things he uses? How far along that consciousness scale is Zach?
Well, I mean, it's you know, it's hard to necessarily answer for him necessarily, but you know, it started from the beginning because I yes, it's true. I mean, from a celebrity point of view, especially since he's been you know, thrust into celebrity since he was 15. You know, the beautiful thing about Zach is he is the sweet person, and I saw that right away, and that's where I connected. I didn't connect with him as a celebrity. I connected to him as Zach, who was interested in something, and that something was health and the environment and everything else. We had this friendship came out of that, and so I saw the love that he cared about. And when I had written out kind of the skeleton of the show, and then he was able to bring it in, and we created the show more towards what I was envisioning, I just saw someone that is like all of us. It's someone that when you strip everything away, we all want connection. We all want to do good. We all want to be better. And we all have struggles because it's like, you know, no one's freaking perfect, but you're learning along the way. The great thing about the show is there was a natural learning aspect to it. And even I think you can just by watching the show, you can see Zach's face and you can see him experiencing some of this stuff for the first time. So I think that it has a lasting impression, and you know, again, we all have that space in us, and he was no different. It's every celebrity that I have met or meet, they'll either care about it or they won't. And it's like, if they don't care about certain things, then that's fine. They're on their own path. But I really believe that when you strip it all away, we're all the same. And we really do want the same. We all want to be happy. And if we can get beyond ourselves, myself included, and take care of course, those needs. And then the best expression, I think, is expressing something that I care about and that same thing can also benefit other people. That's the way I try to view everything. Everything I do, it's not only for me sometimes, it's also for how else can I maybe show someone something or bring attention to something. And so my life kind of continues to come off of the show in kind of that same vein. How can we, and I'm developing some new stuff and new shows and new content based and around a lot of that stuff too.
Very exciting. Well, the last question I have for you, and I think that when I look at someone who's putting out a lot of messaging on a topic, I really like to know where that comes from. And for me, if I can find that there is a backstory there, a genuine connection to the topic, I am far more likely to put trust in that person. And one of the most compelling part of your work and your story for me is the experience that your dad had working with a nuclear bomb. And the problems that developed with his thyroid and his immune system, and you know, the position that put you in, is a really compelling story, because it's not as if you've stumbled onto this topic and it's all brand new to you. It came from a genuine problem. And I think if people out there heard about this, then it's really going to hit home. So I would love to be able to ask you just to maybe recount that for our audience and how you came to land in this world of fatal conveniences.
Yeah, thank you. My father in the 90s, when I was in university, my dad basically called me up one day. I said, hey, if you're gonna come home this weekend, you have to wear these non-toxic products. And I was like, what are you talking about? He goes, I've discovered that I have a condition called multiple chemical sensitivity. So anything coming off t-shirts and shampoos and conditioners and perfumes and lotions and everything else, like, what the hell? And of course, it was hard to believe at first, but then my father was a professor, so he started, you know, finding the research and making tapes, and I learned along the way. And so I started using these things, these non-toxic products myself, and I started feeling better. And to summarize all that, even though my father was suffering, he couldn't function, he had to retire, his cognitive abilities declined, his immune system declined, his outlook in life declined, becoming depressive, like all of these things are happening. Well, it's still happening on micro scales to us, but for him, his endocrine disruption happened because he was one of the keepers of the dragon in the Cuban Missile Crisis, where on the aircraft carrier, it was his job to prepare atomic bombs and to work with atomic bombs to get them ready for deployment if that were to happen. And so his thyroid got destroyed. And so that set him up later in life to be not being able to handle the overwhelming amount of chemicals that were being created throughout his life, because, you know, growing up in the 40s, it wasn't as much, in the 50s, 60s, 70s. And now that industrialized, chemicalized soup that we continue to create put him in a state of overwhelm constantly and always. So this became my first awareness of that 30 years ago, and learning directly from him, because he was my dad. And I saw him have a cascade of problems from that, which led him to picking up alcohol after 30 years of sobriety. And ultimately, he died of that alcoholism. So this is as personal as it gets to me. The book is dedicated to him. And underneath the core, I saw my dad suffer unnecessarily. And that's what I want to continue in other people. I don't want them to suffer unnecessarily. Now, they may not know they're suffering. they may think that, well, this is just the way I feel. I don't have any energy sometimes. I have a headache sometimes. Whatever it is, that these 60 to 80,000 chemicals that have been created, and most of them never tested for safety on humans, are all in our world. And even though you're not feeling them, they are still affecting you. So that's at the core, so that we can change this, you and me and the people listening, but ultimately push so that we can eliminate these harmful chemicals in our society.
Well, I hope everyone watching and listening today comes away with something today. And, you know, if you're not going to go 100% in, I encourage everyone to pick up a copy of the book. Like Darren said, go to the back, just find one solution, make one change today. Try and, you know, ingrain that in as a habit and build on from there. So with that in mind, Darren, where can these guys find this book we've been talking about today?
Yeah, so basically anywhere where you love to buy books, you can check out more information at DarrenOline.com, and then Darren O'Lean on all social media, the Darren O'Lean Show, constantly talking about this stuff and ways to change it.
Amazing. I'll make sure all that's linked in the description below. Darren, thank you so much for joining me for a second time on the podcast.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.